Tangentbound Network. Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you...
Okay, I didn't realize I was still there. If you guys come to Con of the Cobs, you'll understand, we'll explain that whole thing. I forgot that was even the end of there. Sorry, man.
That just threw him right off.
What?
Well, we're still live. Keep going.
You found Geek Watch 1 with the horse that just had a heart attack. Okay.
You recovered, Dick?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Yeah, so this is our 20th issue. Well, we've gone through a lot of changes in that time. We've gone from doing this once a month to doing it bi-weekly, and then from bi-weekly to now weekly with interviews and, like, I don't know, going out in the wild, doing a bunch of stuff we'd never thought we'd do, and be
making
on two
appearances.
Networks, making appearances and being on two networks. So, I don't know, this little show, which we...
The little geek show that could.
Little geek show that could. It was much smaller than we expected it to be, and it got way bigger than we thought it would be by this point. And we want to thank all the listeners, all the geeksters out there for sticking with us and, you know, liking the Facebook page and our Twitter feed and all the other manner of social network that we're on. So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for being with us, guys. 20 issues is a big one. You wouldn't believe the amount of podcasts that don't make it to 20 episodes or 20 issues.
That's true. We have somebody who restarted their show and made it to 2.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a friend who made it, who they had a show for probably 6 months or a year or maybe more than that. Took a bunch of time off. When they came back, they made 2 shows, and that was it.
Yeah, and I mean, and it takes, the truth is, podcasting is, basically sitting around talking, but there's a lot of planning and a lot of work that goes into it, and it's a big time commitment, and everybody has busy lives, and so, you have to be able to, with time and a lot of luck, actually, be able to make it work. And so we've been very fortunate in that, we've been able to do this and have a lot of support along the way. So.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, the one major thing that we had going for us is I listen to a lot of podcasts. You guys have heard, know that anyway.
Right.
But you wouldn't believe how many podcasts is just the guys sitting around talking.
Right.
I think the secret reason we've gone so long and stayed so strong is actually we got our wives involved. And without the support of our wives and our wives being on the show with us, I don't think we would have kept it going this long. So I want to say thank you, Vicky. I love you, and this was awesome that you let me do this.
But you sit on me and make me behave.
Well, as soon as we get enough Patreon followers to get us to the Geek Watch 1 After Dark, I won't sit on you no more. You can say whatever you want.
I get freedom?
You get freedom. They got to go to Patreon and get us to that point, though.
I was just looking at the video I was watching.
But it's one that would have to go on After Dark, probably.
Yeah.
Well,
it was a fish and a gun.
Well, and that's true. I mean, the more people you have that support what you're doing, and in this case, it's Dawn and Vicky that makes it easier and it increases the probability of success.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thankful too. So thank you, babe.
And also another big thanks goes out to Andy and the entire Hop family, Andy and Crystal and Greg and Heather and everybody else that's been involved that helped us, allowed us to use the space as much as we have down at the Motherwaith Creation Studios, have given us some content, have joined the show and that are friends of us. But that's another one. Without their support, we wouldn't have got this far because we'd have been sitting at home trying to figure out how to do Skype a long time ago.
Right. Right. And so, so naturally we will get more involved, I guess, into the shout outs and the thanks and that sort of thing, I guess, later on in the shows.
Well, actually, we can go into that right now. We're talking about this 20th anniversary and the fact that we've been able to do this. There's a lot of friends that we found through this that have become friends and have been active on our Facebook, on our Twitter. We even, for the first time ever, guys, we actually got an email this week. So
finally!
Yeah, we're going to get to that here in a little bit, and I'll actually read it on air so you can hear what it's like when we actually get an email.
Right.
We've been telling you for 20 episodes that if you would send us an email, we'll read it on the air. You'll be internet famous.
Internet famous works.
Yeah. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. But Ms. Dawn has a list of a lot of people that have been friends that either were friends before or have become friends through the podcast. So Ms. Dawn, who do we got that we want to give some shout outs to?
Well, of course.
Can I get a shout out if I open this?
Yes.
Yes. Of course we have both of our networks, everyone involved in Tangent Bound and Weeby Geeks. And we've become friends and chatted virtually with a lot of people from other podcasts because of the networks. We've got our buddy Clint from Geek Dig, who we've had on the show, Neil and Annalise from Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks, Liza and Christy from Viva La Nerd, the whole gang over at AM Audio Media, who we did Doctor Who Dark Journey with. Then we had a bunch of people we've interviewed over time, including a bunch of the interviews we did at Odd Mall. We had Aaron, who did Zombie Massage. We had the Northeast Ohio Ghostbusters, Dr. Sketchy, Greg from Devil Strip.
There are also the people from over at the Devil Strip. Did you say Devil Strip?
Greg.
He just says the Devil Strip.
He did say Devil Strip. And
you heard it and it reminded you of Devil Strip.
Yeah, Devil Strip. It did. Yeah, so.
And of course, the guys at Malted Meeple. Who we've had fun with doing a live show recently, and we're hopefully going back there soon.
Oh, we'll definitely do some more.
And then, of course, we have a bunch of friends we've had on the show, or those who we know support us and comment, etc. We've got, you know, in addition to our, you know, the Hops and Crystal and Greg, there's Jess and Sarah and our West Coast correspondent, Nicole. We've got Shelley, Carmen, Julie, our bloggers, Bart, Vern, and Cam, JD, who's also been on the show, one of our super fans, Dan, James, Dennis, Lou, and a whole bunch of people that I'm sure I missed, but I tried to go through a bunch of our Facebook posts and Twitter posts to just catch people. And then, of course, there's all the followers on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook, Google+, all that good stuff. So thank you to everyone.
Yeah, if you guys weren't listening and downloading, it's another one that we've said before. It sometimes feels like we're just sitting here talking to us, but when we see the feedback from you guys, that's just an awesome thing. Where do we want to go from?
Earlier this week, I got a surprise email a text from Rick Washington that I had gone to high school with. He's hanging out in Oregon. I believe he's in...
It's
the same city that they're filming The Librarians of Portland. Yeah, he's hanging in Portland, which is a geek-friendly city. And so I get this message from him, and he said that he loved the show and that we're doing some really cool stuff. And which, no, totally shocked me that anybody that I actually knew pre-Ohio would be listening. So, man, thanks. Means a lot. And we got to talk and maybe hopefully get together in Tennessee again soon. So yeah.
Well, actually, we met another geekster this weekend that wasn't a geekster yet, but he's about to be. This goes into kind of Vicky and I, what we did yesterday. We actually found Andy and has taken us to a place called Beatty's Mongolian Grill down in Columbus. It's an awesome place with all-you-can-eat stir-fry. You basically build a bowl. They cook stir-fry there for you.
With swords.
With swords on their grill. It's really cool to watch. But we met a guy named Drew. So, Drew, I know you're listening out there.
I thought he was a geek.
Yeah, he is a geek. He wasn't a geekster until he started listening. He's going to start listening now. So, Drew, thanks for listening, buddy. We found out we were up in Cleveland when we saw this place, and he's actually from a mile away from us here in Akron. He just happened to be up there for his wife's birthday, and we were stopping on our way home from Stunt Workshop.
Nice.
So it was just a small world type of deal. But once we were done there, we found a store. It was a couple of stores down. We didn't even know it existed. It's called Big Fun Toys.
Right.
This place is amazing.
You didn't know about it?
I think someone had told us about it before, but I had never got a chance to get up there to it.
Right.
Now that I've seen it, we're going there more often.
Because parking sucks, and yeah, it's kind of rough.
Yeah, there's no parking in that area.
No, it's not.
You're lucky if you find someplace on the street,
There's no parking anywhere in Cleveland. That's
the thing. But this place, you walk in, and it's floor-to-ceiling stuff. There is no empty wall space in this place, because they've hung something there, or there's a display on it, or something else. Vicky got a bunch of novelty gum in boxes that all have different sayings and stuff. But in the back corner, I'm sitting there just walking through the store checking stuff out. They have Legos and they have Transformers, and I come around the corner.
They have that Unicorn Revenge toy.
I don't know about Unicorn Revenge, but Dawn and Vicky knew exactly what it was as soon as they said it. What is Unicorn Revenge?
Unicorn kill people.
It's the true meaning of unicorns. They kill people with their horns. Everybody knows this.
The guy was spitting on the horn. You didn't see that?
Yeah, those were little like rubber figures or something, weren't they?
I don't know if they were rubber, but the figure was speared to the chest by a unicorn.
Okay.
Because that's what they really do. They're not nice and sweet and kind.
Not according to Legend.
That's the conspiracy.
I like to think about Legend as the true meaning of what unicorns are.
But anyways, you grabbed me, told me to close my eyes, and I didn't get past Star Wars.
Yeah, she saw Star Wars stuff, but no, she... So I found, and then she came around the corner, I showed her, they had behind a plexiglass case a complete USS flag from the 1980s G.I. Joe toy line. This thing's like 4 foot long by like 2 foot wide.
Yeah.
It's big enough to actually, if anybody remembers the old Sky Striker toy from G.I. Joe, it was the F-14 Tomcat, that sucker was what, a foot and a half long?
At least.
You could land one on the deck of this aircraft carrier.
Yeah, it was pretty much to scale.
But
I remember that.
It was amazing. I think I've only seen it like one other time. We saw it at the flea market. A guy had it for sale for like $500. And if I remember right, it was missing a couple parts. But this thing was amazing. And they had it set up as a diorama type thing with plexiglass around it with all kinds of helicopters and stuff flying over top, all the kinds of G.I. Joe toys.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, that's what we saw. That's like that's the unicorn thing we saw.
Yep, that's about a unicorn
that's
too.
That's crazy.
Mine is on its horn bleeding.
Yeah, it has it's anybody seen the Playmobil toys? The action figure type deals? That's about the scale that this unicorn killing people was. But no, the flag was awesome. They had all the different vehicles and figures all in there with it to make it look like an actual working aircraft carrier. Then I looked up to my right on about 7 foot up in the air, and they had the Cobra Pterodrome toy.
Nice.
This thing was about almost as big as the USS flag.
Yeah, I remember the Pterodrome. I never got to see a display of one, but I remember when it came out, the thing was huge, and I'm like, I don't know where you would have room to put that thing. I just, no.
The castle was cool.
Yeah. Well, on the way out, they had a display with some of the old Japanese toys of, like, the Shogun Warriors.
Right.
There was some Robotech up above. There was the vehicle Voltron, the, like, 7-inch figure of the vehicle Voltron. But on top of that case was a Castle of Lions playset from the 3¾ Voltron line.
See.
This is a store that I need to live in.
was that the line where the... you had the figures that would actually fit inside.
Yeah,
the
scale.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We don't have room in the house for it.
No. I love Voltron was one of my big loves back then.
The bong I posted Jesse said that should be for Adrian. Adrian sent it to Jonathan, uh-huh. So I think she agreed.
Yep. You'll have to okay. come to Con on the Cob to figure out that conversation.
So, but yeah, big fun toys, guys. Thanks for having an awesome store. We dropped off some Con of the Cop flyers there with everybody and some business cards. So hopefully the guys up there are listening now. So hopefully you guys are now geeksters, and that is fantastic.
Well, and I also think that our waiter was a geek or trying to be, because yeah.
Oh yeah, he like it sounded like he was quoting Terminator when he left this table and stuff. So like I'll be back, and just the way he said it,
he didn't catch it. I did.
Yeah. So we just had a great time last night. Met some geeksters.
Jumped off buildings. Well, you did.
Yeah, that was part of the stunt workshop. we were jumping off of, or practicing our high falls.
And one of the mothers decided to accidentally take a header. And
yeah.
By default, I got stuck babysitting because I was the last one in the room. Baby tried to kill her.
Okay.
That's what babies do. That's why you shouldn't have babies.
Well, she's a ninja. She's a born ninja. Trust me.
Okay, so... Moving right along, do we want to get into the mailbag, or do you want? I think that's going to lead us down a pretty big rabbit hole. You want to do Mother Oath?
I think we do Mother Oath first.
Okay, so what do we have this week? We're going to get into the Mother Oath creation or the Mother Oath update, or what do we call it?
Mother Oath update.
We yeah, never remember it. What we call anything.
Hey, we had to write down the big beautiful brownie bake off to make sure that we got
probably,
it right.
It's on the website now, so it's probably...
Yeah, we had to actually write it down or else we were going to mess it up every time.
Well, that crystal might be... I think she won.
Huh? Not yet.
We've already determined crystal's won. We haven't even done anything with the
not
brownie.
Yet.
I don't even know if it's a possibility.
Although the big beautiful brownie bake off, we might be able to be bribed.
Oh!
Might.
Hey, we'll put it out there.
Might.
We might be able to be. I'm not promising
if
anything.
If peanut butter is involved, you have a high chance of success with Kylan.
Well, that's with
I'll
everybody.
You know. Every brownie will have peanut butter.
I'll put it like this: my alignment in life is chaotic good. So, do with that as you wish.
Are you opening up greetings?
Yes.
Nice.
I am chaotic good, so you know.
Okay.
You know, if you wanna.
Right. Yeah, my problem is I'm probably closer to like lawful good.
No, there's no close. You're lawful good.
You're lawful good. Straight up.
Just gum and it'll erase your past. You'll be okay.
That is kind of cool. You got to read through some of that. Then there's a side panel. Then there's a back panel. The back panel's
okay,
hilarious.
Okay, so for Mother Oath.
But Mother Oath update. Go ahead, Miss Dawn. What do we got?
The quickie, I think, is for Oddmall that Crystal has said we already have more vendors and vendor space is still open though. There's still plenty of room and. Up until it's filled, there's space open. Uh-huh. Up until it's filled or the show starts, that's when space is open.
Remember, Oddmall is coming up in 1 month, basically 1 month from when we release this.
Oddmall.info/Ohio.
Did you guys read the side in the back?
I did.
It's good stuff. But,
Oddmall.info/Ohio.
Okay, you got to do that a little slower. Oddmall.info.
People don't know by now.
Ohio. It is. Remember, it is October 31st, November 1st. The John S. Knight Convention Center, right downtown Akron, right in the middle of downtown.
Free admission. Wear costumes. Have a good time.
There's free parking. Come hang out with us. The other one we mentioned before, but the costume contest is on Saturday afternoon. Kylan and I will be emceeing that.
Yep.
Sunday we will be recording all day, interviews and things like we did last spring.
I have steampunk stuff.
Yeah, Vicky has steampunk jewelry at her booth. But
I'll be starting my birthday celebrations.
Well, you mean your birthday month? Yeah, your birthday month.
No,
I'll start November.
3 weeks. 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
First. Yeah.
Okay.
I may have a flask with me on that day.
In another 5 years, he gets another extra week, so you can make it a birthday month.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I may have a flask, so...
He might be feeling good.
I might be
feeling very good.
But I know Sunday we're also doing a live show on stage... Now, we're not going to know time and stuff till we get there, but if you guys come on Sunday, we're going to be doing at least a one-hour live show with me and Kylan and probably Dawn and Vicky and whoever else we can wrangle into getting on stage with us.
And Crystal will be giving Krav Maga demonstrations.
Yeah, okay.
You will.
And free hugs.
Mm-hmm.
More like I'll be pimping the new subscription box.
Pimping?
That's right.
Pimping. There you go. And that...
Oh my god.
Miss Vicky caught us again with a distraction.
It was good.
Yeah, it was a good one, but it can't be on the podcast.
I need to have hours that I can be released.
Okay, now Con on the Cob.
Now, to Con on the Cob. Miss Dawn, today we've talked about the parties ad nauseum, and everybody knows there's parties everywhere.
You said ad nauseum.
But what are you writing in my notes?
Okay, keep going, Kay. Keep going.
But, so we've talked about the parties. We talked about last week about panels.
We've talked about panels.
What's happening at the panels and stuff. This week we're going to talk a little bit about the entertainment that's going to be happening at Con on the Cob. One of the really cool things is on Saturday. How much of the day Saturday do we have, Crystal? Is it all day?
The robot battles.
The robot battles are all day in the auditorium.
In the auditorium, all day Saturday, we're going to have robot battles. Now, if you guys have ever seen on TV back about 5-10 years ago, they had the TV shows with the robots beating the holy crap out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. They're bringing their own stage. They're going to have all the safety stuff set up. But it's robots. Last robot standing wins. They're probably going to have saw blades and pinchers and hammers and all kinds of crazy stuff. So this is... I am excited to see this. You might see flamethrowers. I don't know.
What are you doing?
Oh. At least the why not?
There's fire code issues, I think, at that point.
I already had to go through fire code inspection this week at the shop. I don't need to do that at the show.
Yeah, well, fire extinguishers, it's all good.
Hey, I had them show up at my work, and all the single girls were like, ooh.
There will be fire extinguishers and EMTs on hand.
Yes. So that is all day Saturday during the day. Saturday evening, and I believe Friday evening, we have... there's actually musical acts going to be at Con on the Cob on stage. Why?
Are they stripping at our party?
Who?
The firefighters?
No. Mm-hmm. We're not having firefighter strippers at our party. As far as I know, we're not going to have firefighter strippers at our party.
We could have an after party.
Invitation
only.
What are you supposed to do?
Firefighter strippers, and you don't want to, single ladies don't need to want to go? Wait a minute.
I'm asking, what about us? What about our needs?
Isn't that what the firefighter strippers are for?
Dating. There's that speed dating that you're going to have.
Well, yeah, there is geek speed dating.
No.
Okay, but some of the musical acts we're going to have, if anybody's seen or heard Nerdcore rap that is pretty big right now with nerd music, well, we have some nerd bands going to be there. Ms. Dawn, who are the bands that are going to be there this year?
On the list, we have Tom Smith and Dan the Bard, Max DeGroot, 2D6, and those are all on Friday. On Saturday, Dan the Bard is back again, Durwood Bone the Third, Worm Quartet, Devo Spice, and then there is Comedy on the Cob Saturday 2D6 night.
2D6 is playing again Saturday night at the Rogue Cthulhu Party.
Yeah, I believe so.
Right,
yeah,
they're exclusive to the Rogue Cthulhu Party Saturday night, too.
And I think they're going to probably be there all week anyway, just hanging out.
And one of the members of 2D6 is actually running the music for the most part, putting things together. So
he's
going to be there the whole time.
He'll be there the whole time. But so if you guys are into nerd music and just geek centric music, geek or music with a geeky theme,
what's that called?
This is going to be awesome.
Filking.
Filking.
Okay, yeah.
It'll be filking.
I've also heard the Fump, Funny Music Project. The Fump is also that's Durwood is on with that.
Yeah.
And some of the former guests of Con on the Cob, like Luke Ski and some of those guys, and Devo Spice are in that group. So,
Luke,
is that what we had for... well, remember, Con on the Cob, guys, is in Richfield, Ohio at the Days Inn, right off of Route 8 and Route 70... Or, not Route 8, Interstate 80.
You don't want to go Route 8.
Ohio Turnpike. Ohio Turnpike and Route 77.
Yeah.
Right there on October 15th through the 18th. You can still get your badges. There's still hotel rooms available. What do you got?
They go right north, and they have to cut through Bigfoot Country to get to the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody who's coming from out of town, Bigfoot has been known to be spotted in the Cuyahoga Valley National Recreation Area, which is right where we're at.
So if you're into cryptozoology, then bring all your equipment, and, you know, at night after the games, go out and start searching.
Yeah, because it's a huge amount of just dense forest.
But don't go to my room, because you will not find him.
I also want this. I forgot pre-reg for badges ends on the first, goes through the first. And then after the first, you have to get your your badges at the door.
Okay, and so October 1st pre-reg ends for Con on the Cob, and after that, you just have to wait till it starts, and you get them at the door, and price goes up.
You save $5 if you order them.
So, like she said, you save $5 if you get it by the end of this week.
So get them now. You have 1 day from when we post this, because we're posting on the 30th. So you have 1 day to get your pre-reg taken care of.
And as far as we know, we still have a couple of hotel rooms available for Friday night and Saturday night, right? Crystal? We still have hotel rooms available for Friday night and Saturday night, or we sold out yet? Okay.
No, we're good.
Okay, so guys, you still, and trust me, for at least for Friday night and Saturday night, you're going to want a hotel room. You're not going to want to drive home.
Especially since Donna and I are going shopping soon.
to pick up supplies for the party.
Get all the alcohol that we need.
Yeah, we're looking at, what, 9 different drinks?
I think so.
5 shots, 4 drinks?
We'll put it this way. There's a reason that I'm the guy that closes the parties. Because no one else could probably keep a hold of the door handles.
That's right.
Wait, other doors? Oh, yeah, this is
We have one other piece of Mother Oyth adjacent related news. Our very own Crystal is starting up a subscription box of all wonderful things Ohio, and it's called Artfully Ohio. Uh-huh. Crystal, tell us about it.
It's a subscription-based box. You can do 1 month, 3 month, or 6 month. And, of course, you save a couple bucks if you get the longer things. And there's small boxes and large boxes. It's all stuff made by Ohio artisans and artists and crafters, and it is stuff that can be found at the shop in Hudson, Live Dream Create Shop.
You can't, it's your shop, you can't even pronounce it.
I know, well, you know, I get cut
it's
up.
It's late.
It's a long day.
What kind of stuff would be in a box?
She's drinking out of a cup you can't see in, so...
No, it's legit coffee. Greg brought me coffee to keep me going.
Like, what kind of stuff is in a box?
It could be anything. Like, there's handmade, like, little zipper pouches you can put, like, pencils or makeup or doodads in. Yes, I said doodads.
Doodads and post-its?
There's bees. Like, right now in the shop, I have, like, Urban Buzz does beeswax candles. Tiffany Twist does different kinds of jewelry. I have Vicky's wire wrap jewelry. Trying to think off the top of my head. I have handmade scarves. I have art. I have paintings. I have prints. I have a whole ton of stuff. And lotions and soaps by Magnolia Jane Soap Company.
And you have your own stuff too, your plushies.
And I have the plushies and everything too.
Great toys.
So any of that stuff could end up in a box.
Cool.
So the small boxes start at 30. Like, for 1 month would be 30 plus shipping. And then the large boxes start at 50. So you get at least 30 and at least $50 worth of stuff every month in your box. Plus, there could be exclusive stuff, surprise things. Who knows what I might throw in there.
Awesome. So you might throw a Dick Grayson action figure in there, maybe.
No action figure.
No?
She's putting everything handmade in Ohio.
But you could have like a superhero theme, something from if it was created by.
You have that one that does the line of artwork that's all like they have the Cleveland skyline with newspaper that you had that for a while.
I had her in for a while. I have a list of people I want to contact. Okay. Who were looking for. When I first contacted them, they had a lot on their plate.
Right.
So they were looking, you know, once they had some time clear up to restock, and it's some really cool stuff, some really cute stuff. I know one of the people makes, like, bow ties and neckties and scarves that are all, like, geek themed.
Nice.
I have...
Say again.
Geek themed. I have a lot of...
Well, we have someone who sits here on that... enjoys the bow tie.
I know.
But are they real bow ties or they clip on?
No, these are legit bow ties.
Really?
Now you're talking his name.
Right.
Language.
That's Kyla.
Yeah, so I need to get back in touch with her. And,
yes, you should.
I have some new things coming in soon.
Cool.
So.
If you guys are local, you have to go visit Crystal's shop in Hudson.
If you don't want to commit to a 6 month thing, I have the 1 month box, which is also great to send as a gift. So right now we're doing pre-orders. October's going to be pre-orders for November's box, which will ship out somewhere around the 12th to 15th of November.
And the website is?
The website, I just set it up, is artfullyohio.com.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys, like, we've been in the shop several times, and I'm not, like, artsy, frilly guy. I'm not that guy. I like creative stuff, but I mean, not the frilly pretty stuff, you know what I mean. But I have to admit, I can hang out in Live Dream Create because there is the coolest stuff that's in there. And if you have geeky friends, nerdy friends, people who are into unique, just unique, I don't know, things.
It's quite honestly, it's like a mini Odd Mall.
It really is because you have some of the same vendors going to Odd Mall.
If you're looking friends with a lot of the vendors from Odd Mall, so
exactly.
If you're looking for something unique, you're looking for something that is like if you have somebody in your life that you know they you just want to give them something that they will always remember. This is a place to go, and if you want to give them something that you know that. They're going to say, hey, this is awesome. Where'd you get this from? Seriously, consider getting Artfully Ohio. Seriously. It's,
and remember, guys, the boxes, the first set goes out in November. That gives you just enough time to get it in before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I figured if we start with the November box, everybody gets them, loves them, then Christmas is right around the corner, and it's perfect. Right. You don't even have to do anything. It gets automatically shipped to whoever you want.
And if you don't give away everything in the box, you know, itself as a gift, you can always split stuff up. There's a number of things in the box.
Oh, yeah.
So keep what you like, wrap some up as a gift, and, you know.
It's easy to re-gift.
You know? Exactly. It's not really re-gifting. You bought it for yourself.
Yeah. And I know right now there's not a ton of guy-centric things,
but your loofah hand soaps. I have a brother-in-law that loves those loofah hand soaps.
I have more soaps coming.
The body soaps,
and
yeah.
I've already talked to them. We're going to get some guy-centric soaps in.
Okay.
She has a whole bunch of new stuff coming because she has opened her own shop up.
That's awesome. There you go.
So she's expanded her line.
Well, that's
her different lines of things and added new stuff.
Yeah. Well, having the ones that are for guys is awesome because, now guys, nobody out there is going to admit this. But you know,
like
you find your wife or your girlfriend has that loofah sitting in the shower. You know that thing is awesome. You may never admit to using it, but it is there. Now this
I'll
is
use
actually,
my wife's loofah.
Kev's nope. not admitting to anything.
Not at all. No, I have the Axis version. I have my own.
He has his own loofah.
But this is basically she took the soap. You put it in a mold to keep it, but she put a loofah in the mold and then molded or put the soap in with it. So the soap has a loofah inside of it already.
True, yeah.
This is amazing. This is a concept they should have had for years.
Yep. So yeah, I have some more guy centric things coming in, and so once I have enough gathered up, I'm gonna start a guy specific box.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's different.
That's cool. A guy box.
Handmade stuff for guys.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Now, anybody coming into the shop, there is stuff in the shop for guys, because Greg has his corner in the back all kinds of Star Wars and Star Trek
Transformers,
all kinds of collectibles from the 80s all the way through now.
Nice. Well, we did that. We when we went out west, we shipped off local stuff, and they couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now you can send them the box. And you don't even have to mail it yourself.
Like me. Crystal's going to do the mailing for you. So there you go. Go to artfullyohio.com or check her out on Facebook, too. She's just started a Facebook page, Artfully Ohio. So there you go.
Yep.
Awesome. So moving on from there, I think it's actually we're at the mailbag point now. Yes. Guys, like we said, for the first time ever, it's taken us 20 issues and 3 special editions to finally get our first email. Now, Kylan's not heard this yet, but I want to thank Clint from Geek Dig for sending us this email. He actually was listening to the to our last issue, number 19, where we talked all about heroes, and I didn't know this. We should have had him on the show, because he's a huge heroes fan. But Clint says that, hey, Kylan, Ken, and gang.
It's because
you made him. Shh. It was great listening to your last episode, talking about Heroes Reborn and reminiscing over the original series. I'd like to contribute some information regarding Season 2, if I could. As we know, Season 2 was cut short due to the Writers Guild strike, and they were forced to cut the season short and change the story. The Season 2 DVD reveals an alternate ending that was quite different from what the viewers actually got. In the confrontation at Primatech, We still had Matt and Nathan trying to convince Peter of Adam's evil, while Hero confronts Adam. When Hero transported Adam away, Adam still dropped the vial containing the virus. Now, this we saw actually in the show.
Right.
And if I remember right, Peter actually stops the, or catches the virus so it doesn't actually get exposed, right?
Right.
Well, in the original ending, Peter doesn't catch it. The virus actually escapes into the ventilation system and immediately starts to infect all of Odessa, Texas.
Oh. They don't like Odessa, do they?
No, well, that the show's always
really
trying to
picking
to
on
it.
Odessa all the time.
But additional footage shows that Nathan, Peter, and Matt go to the police station and trying to convince the authorities to quarantine the city. Peter leaves to cause a landslide to block the bridge in and out of town, and Matt uses his powers to actually convince the cops to listen to Nathan. At least 8 episodes were supposed to continue the virus outbreak storyline. Mohinder would have been the leading expert on the virus. Maya was actually the key to the curing the virus. It was planned for her to absorb the virus with her power, and if she didn't die, she would have begun to work with Mohinder and have a lot longer romance with him. Now, had season 2 been able to progress as originally intended, I think the show could have stayed strong and had a far more longevity than it did. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say for now. Looking forward to catching up with you guys at Con on the Cob. Stay geeky, my friends. Clint. So, Clint, thanks for sending us our first email.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We are also looking forward to seeing you at Con on the Cob. That's going to be a fantastic time. You guys, if you want, when you come to Con on the Cob, Clint from Geek Dig is actually going to be doing a Geek Dig podcast from Con on the Cob on Saturday. So, but going back to this, another storyline that was totally scrapped because of the writer's strike. What do you think? Because Kylan hasn't heard this yet. Or Vicky didn't read yet either, did you?
Is that why they blew it up this time around?
Blew up Odessa? Yeah, that's because they weren't able to put the virus in it. So this time around, they actually blew it up, or they blew it up instead.
Right.
But what do you think of that story, Kylan? You've not heard about this, so you haven't had time to think about it.
Well, it makes sense. It seems to be, it would have fit in with season 2. It completely, I think it was, we wouldn't have gotten the season 3 we got.
We wouldn't have gotten the carnival at all, I don't think.
No, we wouldn't have gotten the carnival at all.
They could have continued this for another 2 or 3 seasons on down the line. The ramifications and the changes because of this.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, you wonder exactly with the whole thing about the people with powers or evos, as they come to be called, coming out. I mean, would we still have had Claire outing herself?
I think they would have eventually. I think that was a direction they were trying to go to a couple times, and they pulled it back. They started it and then pull it back.
I think ultimately it was intended that the people with powers were going to be known.
Right.
It was. I mean, because you started out, everything was hidden, and it was kind of like the entire progression was getting them used to their powers and the battle between the group that wanted to come out and the group that didn't want to come out, and ultimately they were going to come out.
Right.
One way or another. So I just think it wouldn't have been done with the whole carnival thing, or if they'd done the carnival, ultimately it might have been just the final season and just the final portion of the final season, not such, direction in that carnival.
Well, and like you're saying is, with someone who eventually would have outed the people with heroes or with powers, especially showing where the show has gone now in Showtime has been 5 years. For us, it's been more like 7 or 8, something like that.
Mm-hmm. It was like 20 years.
Yeah. But the amount of people, because in the show, obviously, there's been more and more people that have gotten powers and realized that, hey, other people have powers too, but one of those would have ended up slipping anyway.
Right.
They couldn't have held it under wraps for long because you're basically exponentially getting more people with powers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that was going to happen anyway, no matter how they did it.
Well, and in a way, it makes you wonder, knowing what could have happened in season 2, if the writers were going in a certain direction that would have led it to the way Heroes Reborn is now, that like that may have happened sooner, or it was sort of the direction they intended to go in originally.
Yeah.
That, because I don't know how many of the same writers are involved, but being that the same creator is involved, he obviously had something in mind with the whole plot line.
Well, now that we've seen the first episode of Heroes Reborn, I think there's a lot, either a lot of the same writers or the writers that are on it now were fans originally. Mm-hmm. Because it has the same feel of the original show.
It does.
The same writing style of like the first season of the first show.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Everything feels like this is Heroes. Right. This isn't like someone brand new came in and said, okay, well, this is the concept. Let's go this direction with it.
And right. I don't think it's because we just recently finished watching the original, but it really felt like it pulled you back in right away. Like, it didn't feel like you needed, there was no setup needed. There was no, it was like you were there again. It's like it never left.
Right.
I think what they did right, especially on this one, is to get that feel, was they brought Noah in at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And once again, you're starting the story from Noah's perspective.
Right.
But I like how, what is her name, Miko?
Yeah.
She is Hero.
Yeah.
You have Hero and Ando, but just the next generation.
The thing with Miko is, I think that was the biggest surprise, I think, in the season premiere was the video game portion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, the change in her power.
You'd seen so much going on with the, in the trailer and that kind of thing. And then, but that was never given away.
No.
Like, you saw her, but only real life her.
Uh-huh.
So suddenly seeing her go into video game, it was like, holy crap, what's going on?
Right,
like,
yeah. Her ability is to actually go into a video game.
Really cool. Like, yeah. I'm not sure, like, the whole look of her in the game or anything, but the fact that they've done it is really kind of cool.
Right. Well, guys, we're going to get into some spoilery territory here, so if you want to jump ahead about 10, 15 minutes, that's awesome.
You should have watched it by now.
Yeah, you should have seen Heroes Reborn by now. If you have to, even you can go back to Hulu. Hulu has it. NBC.com has it.
Zach's the new Siler, just killing everybody.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, no,
he's Zachary Levi's character. He's not Siler, but he's in that role.
He's good in it, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seeing Zachary Levi just being ruthless.
Uh-huh.
It's cool, because it's almost like...
His
he's ruthless,
worse than him.
But yeah.
Yeah.
He's ruthless, but not out of control.
Right.
No,
he has a plan. He knows what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Yeah, and I think even watching the character, you could see, I don't think he sees that he's doing the right thing.
Right.
Right.
Or in his opinion, he's doing the right thing knowing that it's not right to do it.
Yeah, he does realize it's wrong.
Yeah, he knows it's wrong.
He knows it's the wrong thing. But
in his view,
he
it's
has the right reason.
The only
for
reason
it.
To do, only right. the option. It's one of those. The only option is the bad option.
Yes.
Then you got his wife who's just off the rails and wants to just level the...
Just kind of like, okay, point me in the direction, I'll start shooting.
She's like what Alfred had said, that some people just...
Want to watch the world
watch
burn.
The world burn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's his wife.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, she was the mom, right?
Yeah.
She just pulls the trigger and it's like, oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't even pay attention to where it's pointing. She just pulls the trigger.
I think the one thing, though, and... if you read our blogger Bart's blog on this this past week, he did a bit of a recap of the season premiere. The one thing is, it seems like they haven't really developed much in the way of new powers to show people with. It's kind
well,
of like
Miko's.
You still have hers is new, but most of the others just like you still have transporters. You still have the kid who's hiding it so far, his hand going through something that was. And so you still have a lot of but there's only so many powers you can give them.
Yeah. Well, I like
quote unquote realistic.
The tweaks they do on some of them, like the one kid that you know is going to be a major character in this that can teleport.
Yeah.
He had no idea what he was doing, but he could teleport people.
Yeah.
But it's a twist because Hero could teleport, but he could teleport himself and someone else he was touching.
Right.
But his went with time and space and a bunch of other powers that went with it.
Yeah.
This kid just doesn't know what he's doing, just randomly teleports people somewhere.
And then when they discover where they end up based on what he's thinking about.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool little twist to it.
Exactly.
You know, when they noticed the flower and it was because he was thinking about the ice cream shop where he first met her and that's why the flower ended up in the ice cream. You know, that was pretty cool.
That and the finding out you see this lit girl in Vegas is causing bunches of problems, and then when you find out who it actually like I said, there's spoilers here, guys. This is a big one. Molly Walker's back.
Yes.
Right.
The girl who could locate anybody anywhere. You just give her a map and she'll tell you where they're at.
I was disappointed that was her, though, because it doesn't look remotely like what the girl would have looked like.
Yeah.
No.
You know?
It's not like, well...
they suddenly made her a redhead.
Yeah. Well, you gotta think, she's in Vegas, so she's probably been through some stuff.
Well,
dyed her hair.
Yeah.
Admittedly, yeah, she could have dyed her hair.
It's not like Micah, where they actually were able to get the same actor.
True, that's
who's
true.
Who's grown up now, and he's here.
Because apparently the actress who had played young Molly dropped out of acting years back, so...
Well, that actually happens a lot. You know, they just move on
it's
and decide they want to do other
when
things.
When they start as a kid, so...
But back to Miko's power, what I thought was really cool about it was when she's in the video game world, it's a stylized version of Tokyo, and when she moves to somewhere in the video game world, she enters the video game world from wherever she's at, mm-hmm. and she travels through the, when she comes back to the real world, all of a sudden, she's where she was in the stylized Tokyo.
Right.
She's moved across town by playing through the video game. Right. That was amazing, I thought.
That was really cool.
That's right.
Yeah, but, she has to get to the tower to rescue her father, and she ends up going to essentially an office building in Tokyo.
Well, do you guys recognize the sword she had?
Yeah, it was Hero's sword.
Yeah, yep. Where did she get Hero's sword from?
Exactly.
And she said it was her father's sword.
She said it came from her father.
Now, see, here's the thing. Hero
There's
can,
no way Hero could be her father. Well, time travel. He could be.
Hero bounced back and forth through time.
Maybe she's half American.
She could be Charlie's.
Be Charlie's daughter? Well, no, because he never went back and changed.
No, he didn't change that on purpose. No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but, you know, things happen. You know,
but, so. I mean, yeah, because, see, at first you had said there's no way she could be Hero's daughter, but because of the time travel thing, she could be.
Yeah. That's the one thing I'm waiting to see, because it took us a little while in the original show to see why is that they showed all these different characters that had seemingly no contact at all, no reason to be, but they end up all linked together.
Right.
But that's what happened in the original.
Yeah. That's what I'm waiting to see on this one. Because you know they're all going to be linked together. Like, so there's got to be something with her father links her to Primatech or something.
Even from the from those prequel webisodes,
yeah.
You had the geeky brother. Mm-hmm. He ended up with Noah because he discovered Noah. And they started, you know, looking into things. So they've connected already. So,
although I was a little disappointed with what happened to Renee. I was looking forward to seeing him.
I really thought he was going to show up more.
Then I actually flipped through IMDb and saw most of the other characters that are original characters other than Noah are 3 episodes at most. So you know you're going to get those at episodes 11, 12, and 13.
Yeah.
You're not going to get them until the end.
Suddenly going to show up, yeah.
Right.
It's going to be like in, Avengers Infinity War. The original Avengers, you're not going to see him in the first half. Sorry, guys. I'm calling it now. The original Avengers are not going to be in the first half of Infinity War.
That's right.
Well, but yeah, you got a completely new team now.
Long enough to die.
Exactly.
That's right.
But yeah, the first half of Infinity War is going to be the new Avengers. The second half, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or what? They're going to come in and rescue them because
I have a feeling that's what they're going to try to do.
Blow the world up.
Is bring in the original Avengers to try to rescue the new Avengers or something.
Right.
So
that was Clint. Thanks for sending the email, guys. If you send emails to KylanandKen@gmail.com, we'll read them on air and probably talk about them for 20 minutes or more.
As long as you don't curse in them, because we won't say those words.
Yeah, we'll censor it, but if we have to. But okay, guys, we got about 25 minutes or so. I know you guys have some news updates. What do we got?
Okay, let me give you Legends of Tomorrow real quick. Earlier, if any of you guys follow, I mean, any of the Twitter accounts or Instagram accounts for any of these shows, the executive producer, Mark Guggenheim, kind of came out with a cool behind-the-scenes production detail on the show. He tweeted out an image that indicates the production company set up for Legends of Tomorrow is apparently called Wave Rider Films.
It's an explanation.
He it has a sign that says Legends of Tomorrow, Wave Rider Films is preparing the area for filming. Yeah.
Was it nudie?
So,
I didn't see.
So, basically, here's what it comes down to. I'm going to read this right from comicbook.com, because there's quite a convoluted story around this.
Now, remember, Geeksters, as we get into this, I like DC Comics. I love DC Comics. I don't know this story, so I got to see where she's going with this.
Wave Rider in the comics is a member of the Linear Men, a group that also includes Matthew Rider, an alternate universe version of himself without powers, Leary Lee, and an aged Rip Hunter, whose body has been ravaged by time travel and who has some cybernetic replacement parts. For a time in DC Comics, the Linear Men were the closest thing there was to a functioning group of Time Masters. Rip Hunter, in the show Legends of Tomorrow, is played by Arthur Darvill. He'll be one of the ones to gather the team together in the show. In the comics, he's a member of the Time Masters as well as the Linear Men, but at different times in his life. In the promotional reel for Legends of Tomorrow that I'm sure we've all watched by now, he introduces himself as a member of the Time Masters. One DC Comics miniseries said to inspire Legends of Tomorrow is called Time Masters Vanishing Point. It included a subplot about a supervillain attempting to gain power by stealing Wave Rider's dead body and draining it of its chronal energy. In order to do this, he takes advantage of a break between Hunter and the other Linear Men, manipulating members of Linear Men into helping him briefly. During an interview at Comic-Con, Legends of Tomorrow producer Phil Klemmer told ComicBook.com that Rip Hunter and the other Time Masters won't always see eye to eye. Rip's father, Booster Gold, will not appear in the first season of Legends of Tomorrow, presumably because he has a movie in development.
Oh, wait. They said in the first season.
Let it go. One way around that, if the writers are so inclined, at the end of DC's recent Convergence event, the pre-Flashpoint version of Booster Gold threw himself into a Cronal Energy store at the heart of Vanishing Point, the Time Master's headquarters, and was transformed into the post-Flashpoint version of Wave Rider.
But Booster Gold, Wave Rider was one of the... Now, from what I remember, Wave Rider was created after Zero Hour, wasn't it? Right.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, that's right.
It was when... Or he was part of Zero Hour that helped rebuild the universe. And it was just a terrible character to start with, I thought.
Yeah, he was.
Now, I love DC Comics, but that's just one I couldn't get behind.
Wave Rider is one or less... inspired
but
characters.
If this is supposed to be a clue of any sort, it, like they said, it could be their way of getting Booster Gold into the show, kind of.
I honestly hope not. But I don't see them doing that, because it just doesn't seem like a DC television universe type concept.
Right, but... Because that's one of the reasons I wanted. That's one of the reasons I wanted to read this directly from this page,
yeah.
Because it's so convoluted and there's so much involved to get... Just the fact that Booster Gold is his father, which I didn't even know.
I didn't know that one either.
You know, just that coming out, and then this whole, you know, time thing going back and forth to get him in there, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
I'm confused because I don't know any of this, but it sounded like that somebody was a little too into Doctor Who and Robotech.
Yeah, the whole thing with
well, that's kind of the inspiration where the Time Masters came from anyway. Was because
that's what it sounds like. You could change, instead of Time Masters, you go with Time Lords.
Time Lords, exactly.
Yeah. And you have one rogue guy that's not on the same level as everybody else.
Well,
sounds familiar.
You know, just the fact that Arthur Darvill was in Doctor Who and he's playing him. You know,
sounds like Robotech.
Well, no, not Robotech.
Yeah, Rick Hunter.
Oh, Rip Hunter. Yeah, and they have the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was all Robotech stuff. Yeah,
so. I just thought that was kind of an interesting.
That may have been where they got the original name for Rip Hunter. When did Rip Hunter come out originally? Do you remember?
I don't know, because I've always been.
I mean, just
my time in DC is intermittent.
Yeah.
Pretty much depends on what's going on with either.
Well, let me Google that for you.
Nightwing or Robin or Batman or Green Arrow.
He first appeared in 1959.
Okay, so it may have been the other way around.
Robotech stole it from him.
Rick Hunter may have come from him.
So there you go.
Okay, you beat me to it.
Faster typer.
Okay, so that was the Legends of Tomorrow news. I'm not... We'll have to see the way this shakes out. Now, there's only supposed to be like 6 or 8 episodes of Legends of Tomorrow anyway, so we don't know how...
It's supposed to be kind of like the mid-season replacement sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like an Agent Carter for the DC TV universe.
Exactly. Right.
Okay, what do we got next on the list?
Did you want the Black Panther offer?
Oh, yeah, okay. It was announced this week that we're going to get to see a new Black Panther series in 2016. I believe spring 2016. The interesting thing about this is that...
Live action?
Comics. It's going to be
comics. Okay.
It's going to be part of their all-new, all-different Marvel universe, which there's a follow-up story to that. But Ta-Nehisi Coates... Who he was nominee of the National Book Award, nonfiction prize. Interviewed Marvel. Actually, there were a couple of editors he interviewed at Marvel for The Atlantic regarding the diversity of their characters. Well, as a result of this interview, Marvel got in touch with him and put him with a editor, and they started talking, and out of that comes him writing the new Black Panther series. The awesome thing is that he is a huge Marvel fan. In the 80s he followed Captain Marvel. Well, it was Monica Rambeau as Captain Marvel, which I'm not sure she's even still. She's somewhere out there in the Marvel universe. Hopefully, we'll see.
So, who's that? Rambo's daughter?
No, Rambo as in Rambau. She's,
oh, okay.
She's French. Like she's like Cajun, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know who else is Cajun?
Anyway, there's Monica.
Who sells cards?
And Jim Rhodes.
And shakes his thing.
No. And Storm.
And he's so, in a pink thong.
Oh
no!
Someone's getting censored.
And so all three of them, three of them were fan. He was a fan.
Does
of,
do it.
That has nothing to do with the story.
Anyway, Kylan's determined to get this story out.
he was a fan of all three of these characters. Who, in honestly, in the '80s, there weren't that many characters of different races or nationalities in the Marvel universe. But these three were actually pretty big hitters. And so. He, you know, basically this kind of drew him into the Marvel Universe, kept him in the Marvel Universe, and now he gets to live the dream of all of us and write for Marvel Comics, but write probably one of the biggest characters in the Marvel canon
one of the
right
most
now.
Anticipated new, and new books and new movies, really.
Right, and
what
so. And so. So, like I said, we're going to be seeing this in spring of 2016.
Actually, I thought it was interesting that I was looking through the article about him, and one of the Marvel editors he met with at the time that started the role into this was Sana Amanet.
Yeah,
and. She's the one who helped create the current Ms. Marvel, who is, as if you're a follower, know that she's a Muslim girl named Kamala Khan. So that was one of the editors he met with, was the creator of the new Ms. Marvel. And,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I saw that a couple days ago.
That's right. And I believe she was one of the ones who reached out to him about... because they also would like... Marvel likes to bring in other... people who are not specifically comic book writers, but who are fans of the medium, to get a different flavor, a different point of view of the characters.
Right.
So I'm really, I'm on my other show. I'm on Mighty Marvel Geeks, where we're talking about this, and this
and
is all.
And the fact that he's a well-respected writer in his own right.
Right.
He's not always been in the industry. He's known for his political and social commentary.
And mainly nonfiction writing.
Yeah, I think it's a big step for a comic to go in that direction, especially based on what the character's like.
So this is already on my pull list. this is already going to be on my pull list. I love Black Panther anyway, and you know, I'm excited about the movie. I'm excited to see... him starting to get a resurgence in popularity, so is going to be cool.
It makes sense that they would be going with a new Black Panther series because of the new movie coming.
Right.
There's I'm expecting there's probably going to be a new Doctor Strange comic. They've not announced it yet, but there will be a new Doctor Strange series probably starting up as we get closer
next month.
To it. See?
There is
okay.
Actually.
And
next
what,
month,
other, what yeah. other characters are they introducing into the cinematic universe? They're probably going to do the same thing as those come.
Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of...
Well, because you have the all-new, all-different Marvel now.
Right.
It's October it starts, isn't it?
Yeah, in October, which, as a sidebar, Marvel is, with each of the new books, I believe there's like 35 new books, something like that. Each of the books are going to feature one of the alternate covers is going to be inspired by a classic hip-hop album. Strange's looks like the Chronic from Dr. Dre's A Chronic, except it says Dr. Strange the Mystic.
The one from Ms. Marvel.
What's this got to do with comic books?
It's alternate covers.
It's alternate covers. And a lot of people who are fans, of, especially our age, you know, it's sort of like why would you do either a live action cover or do a cover that looks like an action figure? So like, hey, it's...
like look at all the different Star Wars alternate covers you get right now.
Well, the problem
every one of them has.
The only major problem I'm seeing with that is we saw them try to do this before. Back remember in the 90s when everybody was trying to collect every cover. I mean, and the problem is the comics are not in the boom the way they were in the 90s.
But they're not making them for that reason now. Yeah. They're making them now because it's sort of more of a... more of a sentimental value for the fans. Like I will want to get the Doctor Strange, the Mystic one, and what was the other one? The one that looked like the Wu-Tang Clan.
That's one of the new Avengers groups. Yeah. I think it's Squadron Supreme has the one that looks like the Wu-Tang album, and then Ms. Marvel has the one that looks like the Lauryn Hill album. It's the Education of Kamala Khan.
And which one was the one that looked like straight out of Compton? Was that the That's not the Guardians one, is it?
No, there's another one. But yeah, there's a whole... It's really cool look. And there's actually a lot of people who, if they like the character or they like the book period, they're just going to buy the alternate cover anyway.
Right.
They just want the alternate cover, so...
So, speaking of going into the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, now, Marvel teased us with a poster, I'm thinking it had been back in May.
We talked about this a little bit when we mentioned Red Wolf last time.
Right. And so the thing is... When you were looking at this poster, people don't realize, but Marvel was screaming what their plans were, because number one, there were not many mutants featured. You had quite a few of the characters who were either from the Ultimate Universe or characters that were. At one point, minor characters, but they're being featured prominently. So, and that's what's happened as a result of the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. One of the things that we get now is an all-new, all-different Hulk in Amadeus Cho, who is a character who was mentioned, and he was mentioned in, it was Age of Ultron.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was mentioned in Age of Ultron. He features prominently in the Hulk series. The difference between these two is that he wants to Hulk out. Whereas for
he
Bruce
enjoys
Banner,
being Hulk.
He enjoys it. Whereas for Bruce Banner, like, oh, I want to be the Hulk. He's crying about it. This dude isn't crying about it. He wants to Hulk out.
He wants to be the Hulk now. Once he lives 30 to 50 years with being the Hulk, maybe he'll have a different story.
But doesn't it have a different name now? Isn't it like the Incredibly Awesome Hulk or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's like... It's
got awesome in it somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's like the Incredibly Awesome Hulk.
She-Hulk.
What about She-Hulk?
The other name, it was
She-Hulk. Oh, She-Hulk.
Okay.
I know. But then the other thing is that, and this is something that started thanks to Fox, not one play well with... Marvel, we are starting to see the mutants kind of get squeezed out of the picture. And once whoever the creative genius, and I mean this in the best way possible, was whoever he was over at, or she over at Marvel was that figured out, hey, the Inhumans could do the same thing that the mutants can. The Inhumans are now replacing the mutants as being the almost like the centerpiece, natural born. Superheroes within the universe, which actually is going to figure in down the road because it's looking like that there's going to be a war between the Inhumans and the mutants. We don't know how, when, or why this happens, but yes, that's what it's looking like.
Does that mean your favorite card twirling Channing Tatum's going to be squeezed out?
He may be killed off, to be honest with you. It's a possibility of that.
Well, because he's a Fox property.
He's a Fox property.
Yeah. Even the name of the Inhumans comic is going to be Uncanny Inhumans.
Yes.
Well, you were saying that once we get there to the Avengers, they're stealing it from some of the Avengers titles from the Mutant Universe also.
Right. Exactly.
And so,
but this includes also both the X-Men universe and the Fantastic Four is getting, because there's no more Fantastic Four comics. They've all been split up between other teams.
Right, the Fantastic Four has been split up. As a matter of fact, Johnny is hanging out with the Inhumans now.
Exactly.
Ben is with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And we don't know where Sue and Reed and their kids are.
They're so far nowhere.
They're nowhere right now. So although
we've seen nowhere. I saw Guardians.
There was talk about Sue working with S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right.
But,
well, If she did, nobody would see her anyways.
That's the reason why she's there.
It's not uncommon for Sue to disappear.
That's true.
Well, and there's actually in the new Marvel stuff, there's a lot of gender swap going on because X-23 is taking over for Wolverine.
Right.
Kitty Pryde is going to be Star-Lord.
There's a new Hawkeye.
Yeah, Kate Bishop is going to be Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And these are ones that have been in the comics, but now they're just swapping them out and making them the major player.
Although Clint Barton is still... He's
involved in one of the Avenger teams, though.
Right, but so he's still out there, but he's not going to
so
be...
So it's
going to
be like Spider-Man and Spider-Man.
Yeah,
something like that, yeah. Or, like, in this case...
Yeah. Spider-Gwen does have her own comic coming out.
Or, like, in the case of Peter Parker, Doc Ock had possessed Peter's body. He ended up creating this multinational corporation that is doing really well. Well, then when Peter gets his body back, he finds out he's rich. For the first time in 50 years...
Peter Parker has money.
So that being the case, this is the reason why we're going to see Peter mentoring Miles Morales. Peter is still going to be Spider-Man, but he's not going
to
be Spider-Man.
He doesn't need to be anymore.
He doesn't need to be. He's going to be running his company, which is more of a science thing, and that's what he wants to do anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So he's going to be like old man Batman.
Kind of, sort of, along the lines of
like
that.
Like Batman Beyond.
Right. And then, So yeah, we're going to be seeing that. Like we said, we talked about the Fantastic Four being dismantled. And it seems like what Marvel is... Oh, and the other big thing is one of the tightest friendships in the Marvel Universe, Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers, may be coming to an end.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So the thing is, we don't know what is going to happen that's going to cause this. Because it's not going to be, I don't believe it's going to be because Sam Wilson is Captain America, because Steve Rogers wanted him to be. But something is going to happen that's going to cause a rift between those two.
Maybe it's a decision Sam makes as being Captain America.
Right.
Something that Steve sees as not being a Captain America move.
Steve wouldn't have made the decision or something.
And so that is so... Now, there's about 50,000 other things that are going to be going on that makes... this Marvel Universe, all new, all different.
Including 6 different Avengers teams?
Yeah, the 6 different Avengers titles. You got Uncanny, you got X, you got all new, all different, Uncanny, A-Force, there's the New Avengers, Illuminati, the Ultimates, and Squadron Supreme.
Now, you're going to be making sure that Mike doesn't forget that the Illuminati's actually getting their own title.
Oh, you know what? The thing is, though, the
way Mike on Mighty Marvel Geeks has talked about Illuminati, I don't think this is what he's talked about.
No.
Because the original Illuminati had to do with the quote-unquote good guys. This Illuminati is actually a collection of villains.
Ah.
So it may be slightly similar storylines, but it's a completely different setup.
So he may still take issue with them,
yeah,
for a different reason.
Still have issue with it.
I love you, man, but still.
So this could be a whole massive discussion on itself, so we'll just kind of probably just drop it there.
Yeah, so...
yeah, this is... You're probably going to take over this one over on the Mighty Marvel Geeks, and you guys are going to be going forever on that.
Yeah, so every... I will have to be hitting the comic shop every Wednesday.
So, DC, can you give us some more news to talk about? Because we're kind of Marvel-heavy this time, so... give us some interesting comic news that's not...
We'll find some stuff. I've seen those.
So, yeah, I think that kind of finally covers everything we have.
That does.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? We'll find that, watch that.
What is... That looks like an interesting movie. The Behemoth, the Sea Monster?
Okay.
It looks like a 50s
looks
monster
like
movie. That was kind of cool. But, okay, Geeksters, so that covers most of our comic book news, doesn't it?
That's pretty much all the comic book news.
We probably know about it.
Yeah.
It's a big monster.
That would be a movie for Bart to watch and give his review on.
Uh-huh. Now, I've already talked to Vernon. Hopefully, he's going to be joining us at Con of the Cob.
Cool.
So, Bart, we know, is going to be there.
Right.
Try to keep him away.
How many people are we going to have on our floor?
I don't know. We're going to have so many people, it's going to be crazy. But that's talking back to Con of the Cop, guys. This is going to be a phenomenal year for it. As we start to wrap this up tonight, we want to thank, once again, guys, 20 issues is a phenomenal achievement for a podcast. If you're not sure, check with some of the other podcasters that are out there. Once you hit 20, it's like, it's an amazing thing. But we want to thank you guys for being with us this whole time. We want to remind you, go ahead and go over to patreon.com/geekwatch1. Isn't that it?
Yep.
Okay. And join up, give us a little bit of love. We have some equipment we need to actually pick up. But we also, like I said, we want to get out to some of these other bigger conventions that are more than just an hour or two's drive away from home. We want to be able to go to do these things, but there's financial parts of this.
And we want to have room parties so we can party with you guys.
Right. Exactly.
And y'all can bring us brownies.
Get actual vacation.
Yeah. But, yeah. And mention, remember, at our party at Con of the Cob, Friday night is the big, beautiful brownie bake-off, right?
Bonanza.
Okay. Hey, I almost had it this time. I will get it right. And the winner of that gets their choice of either one of our fantastic Geek Watch 1 t-shirts or entrance into Con of the Cob 2016, a four-day badge.
That's right.
And Kylan's kind of looking forward to the brownies.
Well, I told Dawn that because I've been holding on to it for a few years now, I'm going to get rid of the last three of my Flavor Flav dances because she banned them from the house, and I would do stuff to. And I said if I did blah blah blah, do I get a Flavor Flav dance? She said no, but then I went to the internet, and everybody's like yes. I end up getting. I end up with like three Flavor Flav dances.
There's a whole story involved with Flavor Flav,
which thoroughly embarrasses her when I do the Flavor Flav dances. I'm gonna do all the Flavor Flav dances at the at our party. So bring some brownies, come and watch me do the Flavor Flav dance.
He doesn't even have to be drunk to do them. This is the sad part.
And you can do it with me. If you want to know what the Flavor Flav dance looks like, check out
Google Flavor Flav dance.
Yeah, Google the Flavor Flav dance. I think probably the worst one is in the Fight the Power video. I think it's probably the nastiest of all of them. So yeah.
So is this nastiest twerking?
It's early twerking.
It's worse than twerking.
But you're only allowed to do those if you're wearing the big clock necklace, right?
No.
No?
No. No, you just got to feel really obnoxious. And that's when I started doing it. I was feeling obnoxious and she hates them. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, remember, also go over to teespring.com and just search for Geekwatch 1. Our shirt pops right up. If you want
to
buy a t-shirt.
But when this is posting, they have to do it now.
You have to do it right now if you're listening to this from us, because we're closing the first campaign as of, I believe it's Friday of this week, correct?
No, it's not Friday. It's Wednesday. No. September 30th is Wednesday.
Oh, it's Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you haven't got in yet, don't worry about it. We're putting it back up. So we're just closing it now on the 30th so that we can guarantee that the first order shirts can come in before Con on the Cob. But we're going to put it back up there so you guys can still continue to order your shirts. Thank you for you guys that have ordered them already. But also go to our website when you're checking out the blogs on there. Remember, we got 6 blogs a week up there. Check out all the banners and all the affiliates we have on there, because they don't cost you anything extra. But if you buy something on their sites that you click through one of our banners, it gives us just a little bit of love back from them that helps us continue keeping this going. So, Miss Dawn, do you have anything else for this week?
Nothing else.
Kylan, do you have anything for this week?
Yeah.
Miss Vicky, you got anything else? Are you done, or what you got?
I have stuff for after hours, so they lose.
Remember, yeah, if you go to Patreon and get us that Geek Watch 1 After Dark, Miss Vicky has a whole list of stuff she wants to talk about.
I got dirt on Gonzo.
Oh, we didn't even get to Muppets. We're going to have to talk Muppets next week, I think. But, you can always contact us, guys, like always, at www.geekwatch1.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and the Satchel Player at Geek Watch 1. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Kylan and Ken. You can also find us on the Tangent Bound and the Weeby Geeks Network. You can also email us. Like I said, if you email us, we'll probably read it on air and talk about it at KylanandKen@gmail.com. So, for Miss Dawn, for Kylan, for Vicky, and for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
Yeah. You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.